for us to use them, for us to grow your kingdom. We thank you for a church that allows us to be able to do just that. We thank you that you call us out into the world to share in our gifts. So Lord, I ask for this moment to be a moment of reflection and obedience so that we can use the gifts that you give us abundantly. In your name I pray. Amen.
It's good to be here in worship. We've had quite a week, hadn't we? With the storm and everything that's happened to us this week, it's good to be here to be able to worship together. Guest, let me just echo what Pastor Dennis's welcome was earlier in the service. We're so glad you're here, and we look forward to what God is going to teach us as we come together this week, as we come together in this series. Now, we're starting a brand new series today. And to start off the whole series, I have a question that I want all of you to be very honest about as we start off, okay? I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. No shame here, nothing like that. How many of you love to play tag? Yeah? Some are like remembering, wait, I played tag once, right? Okay. How many of you like to play tag when you were younger? Anybody? Anybody like to play tag? Okay, good. All right, I like to see that. You know, tag is one of those wonderful games where everybody plays. It's not, you know, the first string tag players. It's not the second string tag players. You don't have a varsity tag team and a JV tag team. Everybody gets to play tag. At recess, everybody plays. Everybody goes around. And the rules are pretty simple, right? You don't really have to explain them. Everybody knows, right? One person is it. And what does everybody else do? We get away from it, right? We run away from the it, but it always tags somebody. And what happens to that person? They become it. How do you know when it's done? How many innings are in tag? How many quarters? It's a beautiful game. It keeps playing until by common consent, everybody just says, okay, we're done. And then you pick it up the next day. And it doesn't matter. There's no keeping score. You just play. Everybody's in the game. It is so much fun. You know, it makes me wonder why we ever stopped playing tag. Maybe adults would have more fun in their lives if we played tag. You know, we might go a little slower, but that's okay. Or a lot slower. Thank you, Bruce. That's why the deacons are here to help us out. I appreciate that, man. Thank you. A lot slower, but we still have fun. Everybody's in the game. It's all kinds of fun. You know, we're about to talk about a whole series called Tag, You're It. And the reason we're talking about this series is, believe it or not, every single one of us in the room has been tagged by God. We have been tagged. We have been touched by God. Now see, this kind of tag we're about to talk about is different than the tag we played as kids. Because you see, when we played as kids, only one person got tagged. And that person became it. No, all of us have been tagged. And we're all it. We've all been tagged by God. We've been tagged. If you look at your outline, you can follow along with where we're going today. We are all tagged by God's grace. We are all tagged by God's grace. Now, what's the word grace mean? Grace means a free gift. A free gift that God gives to us. We can't do anything to earn it. We can't do anything else with it. The first part of our outline there, in part one, it says we are tagged by God's grace. Now, let me tell you a little secret. We are tagged by God's grace more than we know. Because you see, friends, there's not one of us in this room who did anything to make sure that we existed. There's not one of us in this room, as talented and gifted and beautiful people as you all are, not one of you did anything to make yourself exist. You had no say-so. You had no creative impact at all. In whether or not you were going to exist. You were created. What Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 tell us in the Bible, the first chapters of the whole Bible, they tell us all sorts of things about how God creates the oceans, the mountains, animals. But then he tells us, we're told in those passages, that God creates us in his own image. Genesis 1:27 tells us, God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. Both of us, male, female, we're all created in God's image. That means that God chose to create you. He didn't have to. He wasn't forced to. God chose to create you, and He created you as you are, as a gift. You didn't do anything to make it happen. Now, I know there's all sorts of folks out there that want to tell us Christianity and science are against each other because of talking about how creation. Folks, I'm not interested in that argument. I tend to think that science is a way that we uncover things that God did. And God lets us in on a little piece, a little glimpse of the mystery. Because every time science discovers something, you know what else happens? There's 10 more things they have to uncover. And I think that's beautiful. Because God has created all that is, and in science, He opens up a little glimpse to us of how it all comes together and how it all works. But what we need to understand, and the point of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is to tell us this: creation was God's idea at God's initiative. The how is not the conversation of those two chapters. It's telling us that God did it, and God's initiative made it happen. You and I are not accidents, friends. We were created by God at God's decision by His grace. Our life is a gift. The fact that we breathe is a gift from God Himself. But there's more to this grace of God. Because you see, all of us with this life that God has given us, all of us have chosen to live our life according to our own rules. We've chosen to make our own mistakes. We've chosen to go our own direction. We've chosen selfishness over selflessness more times than we'd like to admit. We've chosen to live life on our terms rather than to look for God's terms of what life was about. Because you see, if God created life, it stands to reason that He knows how life is, it's designed to be lived. He knows the best way to live. And oftentimes, what we do as human beings is we may have heard that God's way is the best way to live, but we go off and live life in our own direction, under our own terms. We make our own mistakes. We make our own choices. The Bible calls this sin. When we choose to go in a direction that is not God's direction. And guess what? Just like all of us are tagged by grace, guess what? Every single one of us, we've all stumbled into sin. We've all done things that go in a different direction than God's way. God looks at us in our sin. He looks at us as ones who have decided to take His grace and live life in a different way. And He says, you know what? I love these people so much that I'm going to make a new way. I'm going to make a new plan. I'm going to send my son Jesus. And He's going to live life perfectly. It's going to be a beautiful life. It's going to be a life that loves people. It's going to be a life that calls people to justice and kindness and mercy. It's going to be a life that is filled with grace. It's going to be a life of perfection to show people what the life lived according to God's plan should look like. And then Jesus is going to die. That doesn't sound right. But Jesus dies, and in His death, He supernaturally pays the penalty for every other sin that's ever been committed or ever will be committed. He pays the price for the human sin. Every single human being. He pays that price for our sin. And then God resurrects Him from the dead. He rises from the dead, and that resurrection is the stamp of approval of God saying, I did this. I made this possible. And what He said is, this now I have given you grace through creation. Now I give every human being grace through invitation. Every single one of us is now given the free opportunity to choose to ask God for forgiveness through Jesus Christ for our sin, and then to follow God's leadership in our lives for the rest of eternity, for now and forever. Every single human being is invited to accept that offer. Every human being is given that same invitation. So we have grace on two fronts: grace at creation and grace by invitation due to the powerful love of Jesus Christ. So friends, that's grace. But wait, as the game show host used to say, but wait. there's more. Because you see, when we decide to follow Jesus Christ, when we decide to accept His forgiveness for our sin and His leadership for our lives, God's grace is bestowed on us even more. Because we are not just tagged by grace. Because of God's grace, we are tagged with spiritual gifts. All followers of Jesus are tagged with spiritual gifts. Every single one who decides to ask Jesus to forgive my sin and lead my life, every single one of us is given spiritual gifts. We are given gifts to do God's work in the world. We are given gifts that build up the body of Christ. Now, what do we mean by spiritual gifts? Are we talking about natural talents? No. Natural talents are things that we all have simply as a part of creation. Every human being has natural talents. But when we decide to follow Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit equips us with spiritual gifts to do God's work, to build up God's body, the church, and to do God's work in the world. We are gifted to do God's work. And not just our natural talents, which God also uses. He equips us with spiritual gifts that may be related to our talents, but they may not be. And these spiritual gifts are things we are required to use to do God's work in the world. We are to give those spiritual gifts back to God. We are tagged with spiritual gifts. Now, this is a little difficult to comprehend. As a matter of fact, even the early churches struggled with this one. Paul had to write about this one a lot. Look with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start with verse 1. It says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant." See? They were ignorant of these teachings that we're talking about today. "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all people." So when we were not followers of Jesus, when we had not asked Him to forgive our sin and lead our lives, we had other things that were leading us, other priorities, other idols, as Paul calls them. He says, now that the Holy Spirit is leading us, we have new gifts that are there to be used for the building up of the world. Now that God is in charge in our lives, now that He is our leader, there are new things that have taken root in us that ache to be expressed, that long to burst forth in us. As a matter of fact, once we decide to become a follower of Jesus, we do not find full fulfillment in our lives until we are fully deploying our spiritual giftedness to do God's work. Our spiritual gifts are there for us to discover them, develop them, and deploy them. And we do not find full completion of our purpose until we have taken our gifts and fully surrendered them and deployed them for God's work in the world. So what is a spiritual gift? What do we mean? I'm going to use this definition here that's in your bulletin. It comes from the Network's curriculum for spiritual gifts. I've used this for years, and it's one of the simplest definitions that makes the most sense. So let's just put it this way. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit and distributed to believers according to God's design and grace. God decides who gets what gifts, not us. They're God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit and distributed to believers according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. Now that leads us into a couple of very critical points for us to understand. Spiritual gifts, we need to know why they're given, even as we begin to use them. Followers of Jesus are given spiritual gifts to serve. We're given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit when we become a follower of Jesus to serve. This points out to us one of the great heresies of the American church. There are too many folks in American churches who simply show up. They show up, they receive from the worship, or they receive from a small group, and then they go home, and then they just show up again the next week. And if things are great, they're complimentary. If things aren't great, they might say a couple of words about it, or even complain or something like that, and then they'll show up the next week. For many people across the United States of America, the church has become another place where you consume, where you come to get certain kinds of goods and services. Friends, the church was never designed to be a storefront for goods and services. That's not what we are. We're the body of Christ. We are designed to grow people up to look like Jesus so that those folks who are grown up to look like Jesus go and change the world with the love of Jesus. We are here to grow people up in Christ and to change the world with people who have been grown up to be like Jesus. That's how love invades the world. That's how the church is a part of doing God's work in the world. We are not practitioners of jacuzzi Christianity. Sit and soak. That's not what we do. And yet that's what so many people seem to want. Jacuzzi Christianity is not Christianity. It's false teaching. When you decide to follow Jesus, you are given spiritual giftedness that is made to be deployed into the world so that people are loved toward Jesus. And so that the world, in all of its mess, in all of its polarization, in all of its ugliness, so that we are people who bring peace and mercy and love and justice to a world that is broken and wants to tear itself apart. That is who we are supposed to be and what we are supposed to be doing, and we use our spiritual gifts to do it. Spiritual gifts, friends, are not for sitting. They're for serving. Rick Warren said this, "We are not saved to sit. We are saved to serve." We exist to use our spiritual gifts to serve. To serve people inside and outside the church body. Now, moving on to point number four, I want to say this. Followers of Jesus are given spiritual gifts to build the body of Christ. I want you to look with me, if you will, to another text in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, as you'll notice as we go through this series together, you'll notice that Paul talks a lot about spiritual gifts. He wants to get it clarified to all of his churches what these things are and what they're for. Ephesians 4:11 says this, "It was God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Friends, we are given spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ? What am I saying? It's the church. We are given spiritual gifts to build up the church. And by the way, what is the church? Is it this building? This is a church building. The church word is the adjective. It's the church building. You know who the church is? Us. The followers of Jesus who have come together and decided we're going to be a local community of followers that live in this general vicinity. We're going to build a local community of followers together who are intent on growing to be like Jesus and to loving this world toward Jesus with every single ounce of our being. That's why we're together. We're not together because the preacher's cool. Certainly not. We're not together because we've got great music. We're not together because we've got a great building. We're together because we've said we're going to grow up in Christ with one another, and we're going to change the world by using our spiritual gifts to do God's work. That's what we do. We use our gifts to build up the body. Now, what do I mean by building up the body? First of all, our spiritual gifts are not about gaining attention or appreciation for ourselves. There are sometimes people use their gifts. Maybe they have a wonderful gift of singing or a wonderful gift of serving in some fashion, and they use those gifts, but somewhere inside they really want attention for their gifts. They find their sense of significance in their gifts. Friends, a spiritual gift is not where you gain your sense of significance or your sense of attention. Your spiritual gifts are given to build up the body, not to get attention for yourselves. Spiritual gifts are not about selfishness. We give those out and steward those out so that God is glorified. Second thing, our spiritual gifts build up the church through encouragement and excellence. If you are using a spiritual gift, if you are serving, if you are showing mercy, if you are practicing hospitality, and while you're doing it, you are saying discouraging words about another member of the body, or about another ministry in the body, or about another person in general, folks, that's not using a spiritual gift. That's doing your own thing. When we're building the body up, we are encouraging one another, because as we encourage one another, all of us grow in using our gifts. All of us grow in building the church, and the church grows in becoming what Jesus intended us to be for changing our community and for changing one another. Too many times, serving opportunities at church become places where people gossip and gripe and murmur, which is a great Old Testament word, by the way. They didn't speak English, but murmuring, that's what the children of Israel did. Folks, our spiritual gifts seek to build up the body, not tear it down. We share encouragement with one another as we steward the serving that God has asked us to do. When we build up the body, one more point, when we build up the body with our spiritual gifts, we build out as well as up. We build out as well as up. We're not just building ourselves. We're not creating some kind of holy huddle here where all of us like one another and we just kind of wrap ourselves in a big tent and protect ourselves, shield ourselves off from the world. That's not what we do. That is not a church according to the biblical definition, because the church according to the biblical definition goes out. It goes out and serves those who are broken. It feeds those who are hungry. It heals those who are suffering. It offers clean water to those who are thirsty. It goes and visits people who are in prison. It stands with people when they are suffering. The church is not an entity that stays within itself. We go out. When no one else goes out, we go out. And we stay until it's changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Friends, the church ain't about us. It's about God. It's about all of us joining together, all of our giftedness, together to do God's work. And we join together as a team. As we'll see later, what that means is we join together as the body. Paul uses body image with spiritual gifts all throughout Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, and we'll see it again in Romans 2. We'll talk next week about church anatomy And we'll talk about how the body is joined together. And how when one part suffers, we all suffer. And how when one part rejoices, we all rejoice. Until we see God's mission to completion. We are in it for the mission of God. And God takes it individual bodies of believers and He gives them special pieces of God's mission to accomplish outside as well as inside. We have defined ours for the next 5 years in the terms of 6 initiatives. We have 6 initiatives that are guiding us over the next 5 years, and we have teams of people gifted in those areas who are beginning to discern and decipher what God is calling us to do, and we want everybody to know, to discover and develop and deploy their spiritual gifts in these 6 arenas so that the church may be built up and built out so that God's work is done. We had a great victory yesterday, by the way. We had a great victory as a church. That victory was our intentional spiritual development initiative, which is one of our 6 initiatives. We had an action team do something yesterday that was remarkable. We had a men's breakfast yesterday where around 50 men from our church gathered over breakfast together and prayed together and started talking about how God has called them to serve in our community, how God has called them to pray for our church and pray for our world, and how God has called them to grow deeper in spiritual maturity. A huge group of men gathered together, praying, ready, being unleashed. What if those 50 men all discover their spiritual gifts? And they develop and they say, you know what, I'm going to unleash these gifts, how God calls me to do it, alongside other men and women in our congregation. And what if those 50, what if every Sunday school class in our church and every small group said, you know what, we're going to discover our spiritual gifts, we're going to develop them, we're going to deploy them, and we're going to unleash them for the building up of the body and the transformation of our city. I wonder what God would do. I wonder what God could do with 400 people completely committed, saying, I'm going to discover, I'm going to develop my gifts, and I'm going to deploy them in ways that build up the body of Christ, in ways that love other people, in ways that do the mission of God. And I want to pray that God will take these gifts that I offer to see lives transformed. I wonder what God will do. Personally, I want to see it. I'm praying for it, which is why we're doing this series. I want our people to discover and develop and deploy their spiritual gifts. How many of you know what your spiritual gifts are? Go ahead, raise your hand. Guess what? This is your lucky series. This is your lucky series. If you are on our email list, you're going to get an email tomorrow that is going to have a link in it. And when you click on that link, you're going to go to a spiritual gift survey. It's about 110 questions. It's going to take you about 25 minutes. They're all multiple choice. You don't need to study. You're okay. You're going to go through that. And when you finish, you're going to get a report emailed back to you that's going to tell you your top 3 spiritual gifts and some ways you could begin to use those. The other thing that's going to happen is that information is going to go into a church database. And we're going to know, and when we start looking for people who can do certain things, we're going to be able to go to people because we're going to know what their giftedness is. So when you get that email, be looking for it. Check your clutter. Check the trash. Check your junk email. Check whatever. Find that email and click on it and discover your spiritual gifts. Because guess what? If you're a follower of Jesus, you have at least one. Every single one of us has at least one. Randy, computers and I don't really function all that well. Okay. Next Sunday, we're going to have some paper ones that you can take. You know what paper is, right? You know, you write answers down on it. And you can do that. And you can hand those in and we'll get it scored for you and get it taken care of. All you got to do is take it. We want everyone to discover what their spiritual gifts are, from teenagers to children to adults, everyone to discover what their gifts are. So we can begin, when we know what our gifts are, we can begin saying, I want to serve in areas where I am gifted. And when I serve in an area of where I'm gifted, I'm going to find a big piece of what God made me to do. And our church is going to win. Because we're going to be doing God's mission together in the way that we are gifted to do it. And we're going to look at the gifts of the church as a whole, and we're going to say, you know what? These are the areas we should be going for. This is what God is calling us to do. So friends, to build up the body, one thing you can do this week is you can take the survey. I challenge every single one of you to take it. Even if you took a spiritual gift survey in the last 6 months, take another one. They're fun. Because you've been tagged, friends. You've been tagged. Every single one of us who's a follower of Jesus, we're it. We've got spiritual gifts, and we are responsible for using those spiritual gifts for the building up the body of the Christ. Which, by the way, there's one final point we need to say. When you're using your gifts to build up the body of Christ, you build it up in unity. Did you see what happened in that Ephesians passage? Verse 12 says, all our gifts are to prepare God's people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. That doesn't mean we all think the same about every single thing. Unity and uniformity are not the same thing. It means in all, the midst of all of our diversity, we prize Christ and we prize one another. It means that we're going to be united in doing what Jesus Christ has called us to do, and we're not going to hurt one another as we go forward in doing it. That we are going to encourage one another, and we are going to build up unity, because guess what? Too many churches wound each other, and in so doing, they never accomplish their mission. So all this stuff that the Scriptures mention, that the New Testament says, that destroy the unity of the fellowships, that harm the unity of churches, the grumbling, the gossiping, the dissension, the ugliness, the complaining, the grumbling, all those things. When we put our energy into using our spiritual giftedness, we don't have time for all that other stuff. Even though we're all different, we are charging forward on one mission that God has given us. I'll close with two final quotes that remind us about what it means to use our spiritual gifts together. The first one is from that classical music, that great classical music piece, High School Musical, that tells us we're all in this together. The second one comes from a movie that Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher were in, called The Guardian. The movie itself was, it's all right. Kevin Costner plays a master chief in the Coast Guard, and his job is to train new rescue swimmers. And the first training day they have, all the characters, they throw them all in a pool and said, here's your PT test. You got to tread water for an hour. Any of you touch the bottom, you're out. You touch the side, you're out. So they have to tread water for an hour. Ashton Kutcher's character, well, he's a swim champ. He's a high school swim champion. So this is nothing for him. He's just kind of lollygagging in the pool. But a guy next to him starts struggling. So Ashton Kutcher's character just kind of looks at him, and he's struggling, he's flashing everything. Finally, he touches the bottom, and he's out. So they pull everybody out the pool, and Kevin Costner gets in the face of Ashton Kutcher's character and says, hey, swim champ, why didn't you help your teammate over there who's starting to drown? Kutcher's character says, I wasn't aware we were working as a team, Master Chief. Costner looks him right in the eyes and says, swim champ, that's the only way we work. Friends, we're the body of Christ. Together is the only way we work with all of our gifts. Oh Lord Jesus, help us to learn, help us to discover, develop, and deploy the spiritual gifts that you've given us.